All right. Well, the clock on the wall is telling us it's time to go, so we're going to listen to the clock tonight, at least to start with. I don't know how to finish with the clock, but it is time for us to go ahead and get started. We're going to continue our study of the apostles, and we have a quiz tonight to start out class, and then we'll flip the board, and we'll have our Bible class for tonight. So, one of the things that I have been trying to do and have failed a couple of times is to try to keep up with the card system. And the beauty of Engraving Heavenly Truths is the fact that some of you don't have kids ours, but those who are back here are studying the same thing that we're studying on a regular and consistent basis, but they're studying it at a different level. And so I wanted to keep our parents up to date on some of the card system that they are going through. And this also helps us with regards to a Q&A and regards to keeping pertinent thoughts through this study in our mind as well. And I went and made sure that we were on the right track, and we're pretty close on the right track. The problem is that right in the heart of some of the apostles, they actually include some other individuals. And so I found that a little odd and a little strange, but I'm sure they had a reason for it. We are right here. This is October the 10th, and so the week of October the 7th, we should be covering 43 through 50, and so probably need to back up a little bit, but those were the others that we actually have not gotten to in our study, and so I thought it might be good for us to at least go through some of these. Now, some of these questions are not really complete. They're not designed to be complete. They're on the front side of those cards that your children have in class, and then the back side has the answer to that. And so this is what they're constantly reminding themselves of. And so if we was to say with the question, the brother of James the Apostle, you'd say John the Apostle, right? James and John are called sons of thunder, right? The special request made by James and John of Jesus. One said on the left, one said on the right. John wrote what books in the New Testament? Okay, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, right? John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, right? Out there on the western side of what is now modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. The three apostles from Bethsaida. Actually, this one kind of threw me off a little bit because I thought two others were from there as well. But
Peter, Andrew, and Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, okay. I think that is exactly right. I'm going to look on here just to make sure. It is Andrew, Simon, and Philip. Philip. Oh, that's on this side. Excuse me. I have that on this side. Philip is included in there. Now, James and John are also in that particular area of northern Galilee. So, Andrew, Simon, and Philip. Okay, the brother of Simon, that'd be Simon Peter. That needs to be clarified, see. That'd be Andrew, right? There are two Simons. But the brother of Simon is Andrew. Andrew, by the way, did you notice the brother of James was, the apostle was John. James and John are called. And then you have Andrew was, or excuse me, the brother of Simon is Andrew. Andrew was the disciple of, before Jesus, the disciple of John, John the Baptizer. All right, Andrew brought his brother to see Jesus, introduced him. Simon Peter, there you go. The occupation of Simon and Andrew? fishermen, right? Simon also is called, this is, well, I don't know which one. Hang on, let me look and see. Yeah, this is Simon, well, if I tell you, I'll give it away. This is Andrew's brother Simon, was also called Simon Peter. Okay, all right. Sorry about that. Peter denied Jesus, this would be how many times? Three times, right? All right. Peter preached the gospel first to, and by the way, this is out of order. This would be Acts chapter 10. The Gentiles, right? This is the Gentiles. On Pentecost, Peter preached to whom? The Jews, right? All right, so that's just out of order as far as chronology is concerned. Peter wrote what books? First and Second Peter. Okay, very good. All right, let's see here. This person brought Nathanael to Jesus. This would be Philip. That's exactly right. So, by the way, did you catch this? You're not following the answers, are you? Philip requested of Jesus what? This is a little bit later on in the ministry, but what did he request of Jesus? Let me give you a hint. John chapter 14, it is recorded. Philip, have I been with you so long that you do not know who I am? Show us the Father, was his request. Show us the Father. By the way, we haven't gone over this. I'm just quizzing you ahead of time. You understand that, okay? Some of this stuff we went over, some of it we have not. Okay, this verse has proposed that all apostles die for Jesus on one occasion. Let me give you a hint here. This is John chapter 11. They are proceeding to the resurrection of... resurrection. They're proceeding to Lazarus's house so he can be resurrected. And the apostles warned Jesus. They said, listen, they've been seeking to kill you. And then he says, I'm going anyway. And this person says, well, let us all go and die. Thomas, all right? So, by the way, did you catch this? Y'all are following the plan of action, right? Y'all get it? Thomas was also known as... Who said? I'm sorry? Doubting Thomas? I despise this question. Yes, I guess you could say he was doubting Thomas, but no more than any of the other apostles. The problem with Thomas was that he was absent Thomas. He was absent that first day of the resurrection. He didn't get, by the way, so the apostle, well, let's see here. Yes, so he didn't get his request fulfilled until 8 days later, you see. Okay, so the apostle who collected taxes would have been Matthew, okay? Y'all catching on here, aren't you? Matthew's other name is Levi. Matthew Levi. Matthew wrote what? Matthew. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew, right? All right. The apostle who betrayed Jesus. Judas. Y'all are really catching on now, right? Judas died by what?
Hanging.
Suicide, but he did go out and hang himself. And then who took Judas's place?
Matthias,
right? Yes. Okay, good. Good. Okay, so. Let's see here. I want to say y'all got about 95. Not quite 100%. I'm going to expect a lot more out of y'all next time, but I'm sure it was the teacher's fault, and he should have done a better job at instructing you. And y'all never had your kids say anything like that, right? You know, if the teacher would do a better job, then it would be a whole lot easier to learn. I just can't learn underneath them. I can't tell you how many times I heard my children say that, so it's probably not anything new. And in fact, in reality, I think I said it a couple times to my parents as talking about those mean, really mean teachers that never had my best interest in mind, did they? So, all right. So let's look at these other eight here. We've got who have we talked about thus far on this journey through the apostles? Okay, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And three of those would be what we would refer to as the inner circle of Jesus, and they would be whom? Excuse me. Okay, Peter, James, and John, right? And they would travel with Jesus on many occasions where others were not, and they would go further with Jesus when others were told to stay back. Now, I've listed the other eight, but there's three individuals here, Matthew, James, and Thaddeus, that I wanted, I highlighted here, for a particular reason. There was a question Sunday about, are there any other brothers? And, to my knowledge, these may not be brothers. But I will tell you this, all three of them are referred to as the son of Alphaeus. So unless there is another Alphaeus, then it is possible that there was a set of three brothers, Matthew, James, and Thaddeus. And by the way, his name is Judas, but he is referred to as Judas, not Iscariot. Okay, Thaddeus here is, and James and Matthew are all referred to as sons, not necessarily in the same text, whereas the other couples, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they are referenced as brothers. But I thought maybe that would be an interesting item that I had not really considered as the question was asked. I believe Miss Anna asked that question. And so Matthew, James, and Thaddeus may be brothers in that regard. And so let's look at some of these. What I'm going to ask you to do is take the scriptures that are up here, John 1:43, John 1:44, John 1:45 and 46, John 12:21 and 22, and John 14 verses 8 and 9. And let's just look at what the Bible says about Philip. Now, outside of the listing of his name as an apostle, which is also recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of Acts, these are the times in which you will find Philip engaging in activity. And so what I want us to do then, like we did on the other ones, I want us to look and see what these scriptures tell us about these men that would be the disciples or the apostles of Jesus. Out of that discipleship, you remember Jesus chose Luke chapter 6, I believe it's verses 12 and 13. Out of the disciples, he chose the 12. So let's look at John 1:43. What does the Bible there tell us about this good man? John 1:43.
The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me.
All right, so what do we find out about Philip right off the bat?
He was in Galilee.
Okay, he's of Galilee. We find that Jesus is seeking him, right, as a disciple of his. Okay, now let's look at verse number 44. What do we find out? Who has that passage for us? Okay, so what specifically do we find out about Philip here? Where is he from? You remember that question on the other side of the board, right? There's the answer to that question. Philip is the other individual that is there. So 45 and 46, what do we find out about Philip? Who has those verses for me? Oh, come on, this is Bible class. We got to read. This is study hall. All right. John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46.
Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law, the prophet Jesus of Nazareth, his son, chosen. And Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see.
All right. Now, we don't want to talk about Nathanael yet. We'll get to Nathanael in just a minute. Some of these passages cross over. But what do we find out about Philip here?
Philip was the son of Joseph.
Okay, Philip referenced Jesus as the Messiah, right? The one whom was written in the law of Moses, the son of Joseph, right? Right, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Okay, so that's what we find out about. Now, what else do we find out? What do we see in Philip here? Exactly. Who else did we find? By the way, it's in this context. But who else did we find earlier that had this same disposition of once he had information about Jesus, couldn't keep it to himself and wanted to invite other people? Andrew, right? Andrew went out and sought his brother Simon. And now when Philip goes, he has a little bit different message than did Andrew. But it does say that he had this message. By the way, it says he goes out and he tells Nathanael that we have found him that is written in the book of Moses. What does that tell you about Philip? He knew the book. He had somewhere heard the book. Now, could he have been the other disciple with Andrew? Remember, there were two disciples with Andrew that were disciples of John the Baptist. It specifically mentions Andrew hearing John the Baptizer say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And Andrew and that other disciple followed Jesus. And here we have Philip now going out after having that information, going out in the same context and finding Nathanael. And so it could be that Philip was that other disciple of John the Baptist that is not mentioned specifically in the text until later on. But he definitely knew or had heard recently, right, of the law of Moses about Jesus. By the way, let me just give you a little quiz here. Where in the law of Moses would we have anything recorded about Jesus? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 18, I believe, is what you refer to. There is a prophet that is prophesied that is going to spring up like unto Moses. And the text specifically says that when he gets here, you better listen to him. Okay, it kind of reminds you of Matthew chapter 17 of the Transfiguration. God from a cloud says from above, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Yes, ma'am. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? Now, somebody go to John chapter 1, verse 1 there, right? How does John begin his gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Nothing that was created was created outside of his effort. Now, drop down to verse number 14. Who is that Word? The one who became flesh, dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. Oh, wait a minute. John 3:16, Jesus says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, right? That's the gift of the sacrifice that we have there. And so all of these are, by the way, there's probably a dozen other scriptures in the book of Moses is not just the first book, it's the first what? How many books are included? Well, you could actually, in if we divided it up, Moses we're looking at strictest sense of the books of Moses, what would they be? five, right? The Pentateuch, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? Sometimes in your New Testament, it talks about the law of Moses. It talks about all of the books, okay? The collection of books. But when it's being specific, then it refers to those five, okay? So he knew something about the law of Moses. Chapter 12, verse 21 and 22. What do we find out about this good man Philip here?
Then they came to Philip, who was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus.
You know, this amazes me how Scripture intertwines and allows us to see the beauty of the character of people. Who else with Philip was the introducer? Andrew, right? And so here we have some Greeks that come to Philip, and they want to do what? They want to see Jesus. They want to have a conversation with Jesus. And so Philip finds his compadre, introducer, Andrew, and they take these individuals and introduce them to Jesus. This is amazing to me. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, then we have what recorded for us here. This is one of our questions on the other side.
Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?"
You know, this interests me as well, because this is a rather sad statement on the part of Jesus. This is down toward the end of his ministry. They have been together over 3 years at this particular time. And you can almost hear the disappointment in the words that Jesus speaks to Philip. "Have I been so long with you that you don't know who I am yet?" And it's as if it's a stinging indictment without the harshness of words, but the disappointment on... Have you ever been stung by the disappointment somebody had in you? Absolutely. If you're over two, then certainly you have. All right, so that's Philip then. There are a lot of things that we can learn about Philip, but those are the Scriptures that talk about Philip. Now then we have Bartholomew, and Bartholomew is also referred to as Nathanael. That is at least the best that we can come up with in regards to this, that sometimes you have Bartholomew and then sometimes you have Nathanael. And one of the reasons for this, Bartholomew is actually not a name in the truest sense of the term. The term "bar" means "son of" in the Greek, in the original language, and so he's referencing him as the son of, and that's what this identifier is he is the son of Thamai, I believe is how it is pronounced, but anyway, then Nathanael would be the name. So let's go back to John chapter 1. We've read verses 45 and 46. So what did we see in John 1, 45 and 46 concerning Nathanael then?
He was skeptical.
Skeptical, right? We often talk about doubting Thomas, but maybe we ought to talk about skeptical Nathanael or Bartholomew here. You see, he's the one who said, "Can any good thing come out of Galilee?" You see, and so, out of Galilee and out of Nazareth. And so Philip then answers him, "Come and see." Now the beauty of this skeptic is that he's willing to go find the evidence, right? It's not, by the way, you'll never find in Scripture where Scripture tells you not to be skeptical of something. Scripture demands a thinking person. It demands that I be a skeptic. I have to have the evidence before I enact. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Did you notice the order there? Prove all things and then hold fast to it. Sometimes we hold fast to things that we've never even proven. We believe it, we're firm, we're convicted in it, and we don't even know if it's true or not. That's not the order of Scripture. God wants us to come now, let us reason together. He wants a thinking man is what Christianity is all about. It's not just, I'm gonna lay out the facts and I want y'all just to consume the facts without ever questioning anything that is ever said. And I want y'all to believe everything that I believe. And I don't want you to study. Is that Acts 17 and verse number 11? Isn't that what they did? Paul came along preaching and they said, well, let's just accept everything he says, right? No, it says they searched the Scripture to see whether or not the things that he stated were so. You see, and that, so what Bartholomew and Nathaniel was doing here is a good, can any good thing come? There, by the way, that was a popular phrase, and it was a particular phrase that's going to give rise to the power of the Messiah in regards to this. So let's look at verses 47 through 51 there. Throughout the rest of the chapter there. What do we find? Someone want to take and read verses 47 through 51.
Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were in the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
All right, so what do we learn about Nathanael here? He is a skeptic, right, in verses 45 and 46. What else do we learn about him? Once he consulted all the evidence, he was there, right?
An honest man.
He was an honest man. The King James says, in whom there is no guile. Dishonest, is that what?
So there was no deceit.
No deceit in him. No deceit, no guile. There is no dishonesty in him. By the way, that was spoken by Jesus, so we know definitely that's true, right? This is a good man that is being spoken of here, right? What else do we learn about this good man? You think maybe he knew something about the Old Testament Scriptures when he called him the King of Israel, the Son of God? Certainly, he understood that there was a kingdom that was coming. And that there was a Messiah that was anointed one that was going to set up a kingdom. He understood that. He referred to him as the King of Israel. Or the King, yeah, the King of Israel, the Son of God. So Jesus then says, you're going to see greater things than this, right? So one thing we know about Nathanael and the rest of his life is he's going to see greater things than this. Chapter 21. Verses 1 through 14, we won't take the time to read this, but this is after the resurrection of Jesus. And in that particular context, the Bible says that Philip and others had gone fishing. And I want you to notice that it says there were together there on the Sea of Tiberias. This is the Sea of Galilee. There was Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. Now, it says that Nathanael was from where? Sorry? Cana of Galilee. So we find then something else about this good disciple of Jesus. Okay, John chapter 20 and verse number 24, we move to Thomas. What do we learn about Thomas here? Who wants to read this?
Thomas, one of the twelve called Didymus,
was not with them when Jesus came.
All right. So when on that resurrection morning, on that resurrection day, when Jesus had assigned to meet with his apostles, Thomas was not there. That's what we learned about him. But we learned something else about him as well, do we not? What do we learn about him?
Is he a twin?
Okay. The text in the King James says Didymus. That being translated, you might have a different translation. It means that he was a twin, right? In fact, he is referred to as the twin, okay, in this particular text and others. Now, it was going to be, he wanted to see the evidence. No different than Nathaniel here. He wanted to see the evidence. I will not believe. The only problem is he wanted empirical evidence. He already had plenty of evidence to believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. All of the disciples disbelieved until they had empirical evidence. But the empirical evidence is what made them eyewitnesses. And their great testimony is what you and I build our faith upon. And so Thomas is asking for, give me the evidence. Show me the evidence and I will believe. Yes, sir. That's right. He wanted the empirical. He wanted to see it, to touch it.
He wanted to feel his nails and feel his side.
That's right. Of which Jesus said, here, Thomas, you touch, you feel.
He didn't want to see, he wanted to hear.
Yeah, he wanted to do even more, didn't he? Right? And so it would be 8 days later before he would do that. That second Sunday. The second Sunday, the Sunday following the resurrection Sunday, then that he would see. I want you to notice John chapter 20 and beginning in verse number 26. It says, and after 8 days again, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Then said he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, by the way, we have no evidence that Thomas reached hither. The text doesn't say he reached hither. It says Jesus offered him to reach hither. And Thomas, it says, answered and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. The belief that you and I have is not a belief in which we have seen empirical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. But we know it to be true as much as Thomas did that day, because of the eyewitness testimony and the fact that that eyewitness testimony is divinely inspired of God. And that's what Jesus, blessed are they who without seeing believe. Now notice the next two verses. Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Pay attention, this is the evidence. But, he says, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Thomas, like Bartholomew or Nathaniel, was a skeptic and was shown the evidence. And when both of these men were shown the evidence, they gave up their skepticism, you see. Now, Matthew, James, and Thaddeus, I have marked here if you came in later, because they're all referenced at one point as the son of Alphaeus. But let's look. Matthew, the other name, that was on the test, right? Earlier, the other name for Matthew is Levi, and he was what by trade? Tax collector, right? Matthew chapter 9. And verse number 9, where did Jesus pick up Matthew and ask him to follow him from? What was Matthew doing? He was at the tax office, right? He was collecting tax. He was doing his job. He was at work. By the way, where were Peter and Andrew at? They were at work. That was their job, right? Well, where were James and John at when Jesus called? They were at work. And they were all called at work. And they left their nets, right? They left their father a fishing, and they went on and became disciples of Jesus. Now, right here, Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, if someone will take and read that, what we will find here is that when Matthew accepts the invitation to be a disciple of Jesus, and when I say a disciple of Jesus, what am I saying? I'm sorry? Okay, well, but before apostleship, what am I saying? When I use the word disciple?
Student,
okay, very good. A follower, right? Someone who is going to learn from somebody else. That's what we're talking about here, okay? So they become a disciple. Now, these 12 out of the disciples are going to become the apostles here, right? And so, but in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, what we find here is that like Philip and like Andrew, and by the way, Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Matthew wants all of his friends and family to meet Jesus. And so let's look at how this comes out. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning in, what is that, verses 9 through 13 here. Somebody.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick."
All right.
But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance.
All right. So notice there is a great feast that is going on here at this particular time. Luke 5 and verse number 27. Does somebody have that? Luke 5 and verse number 27.
And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me."
Verse, go down to verse number 29 now.
And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him.
Okay, so Matthew tells us that there was this great feast that's going on. But Luke tells us, in Matthew's account, we don't know who threw the feast, but in Luke's account, we find that it was actually Matthew or Levi that did this, okay? So, some great things about Matthew in this text. That was the bell. Let's look at James. There are a couple passages about James. This is not James, the brother of John. Okay, this is not one of the sons of thunder here. He is actually referred to, somebody get Mark 15, 40 and 16, 1. Those are two passages that we can read together. And we'll find some things out about James, who is called the less. Remember that James, John, and Peter were amongst the inner three. That would be James the greater, I guess. This is James the less in regards to this. So, Mark 15:40, who has that?
And there were also some women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less.
James the less.
And Joseph and Salome.
By the way, where are they at here in Matthew 15 and then in chapter 16 and verse number 1? Mark. What's going on at this time?
Crucifixion.
Resurrection, right? And we find that these ladies, the mother of James, which, by the way, is called who? There were a lot of Marys during this particular time. Mary, the mother of James the Less, she's there at the crucifixion. She's there at that Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1, which says,
"And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they may come to anoint him."
Ah, so who went first to the gravesite? Mary, the mother of James, was one of those, James the Less, who went there. Alright, let's see here. I can't ever tell. Let's go ahead and get Thaddeus here. John 14:22, if y'all will help me out. Luke 6:16, and Acts 1:13. If y'all will help me out, we'll find some things. By the way, that's all that we know about some of these guys. Alright? I'm telling you everything the Bible tells you about these men. That's it. So Thaddeus, who is called Judas, not Iscariot, John 14:22.
Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?"
Alright, so what do we find out about Judas, not Iscariot, here? Alright. He by the way, all of these you'll find at one time or another, in most cases, have some questions in regards to Jesus, right? They're not afraid to ask. Only on one occasion do I find that they're not afraid to ask Jesus a question, and they should have been ashamed of themselves, but that's a different story altogether, okay? We also find out that there are two Judases that were apostles, right? Don't overlook this. He's Judas, not Iscariot. That means that there is Judas Iscariot that's down here, right? All right. What else? Luke 6:16.
Judas, the son of James.
Judas what?
The son of James.
The son of James. We find something else about him, right? Okay, so Acts 1:13.
"And when they were come in, they went up in an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James."
All right, so here we have Matthew, James, and Thaddeus, all referenced as the sons of Alphaeus. But whether or not it was the same Alphaeus, we are not really, we can't really be conclusive on. Just like if there may be, in fact, at one time there were three Ricks in this congregation. There was Texas Rick, that's Oldfield over there. There was FedEx Rick over here in the back. And he's now moved on up to Amarillo. And then there's this Oaky Rick that is before you now. And so sometimes you just have to refer to people by different ways in order to explain things. And that's what you have here. Now, there's the bell. I was going to say, did the bell ever come out? All right, so you have Matthias, who was added in Acts chapter 1. You have Simon, not Simon Peter, but Simon, he is referred to in some translations as the Canaanite, not Canaanite from Canaan. It's a different word altogether, and it means the zealot. Okay, and that's Luke 6:15 and Acts 1:13. All right, y'all got an A on your test tonight, and I may bump that up to an A+ because you did so well in the reading. All right, so we got through the apostles per se.